Welcome back to The Minute Who Shagged Me, where we go through the Austin Powers movies 1 minute at a time, continuing with The Spy Who Shagged Me. I'm Johnny, and we're rounding out the week with our special guest. He is...
Harper W. Harris of The Thing Minute.
Oh no, your middle name changed.
Well, you know, it's a spy thing.
Ah, okay.
It slipped on the last one, but I gotta be more careful.
Yeah, you gotta use your special middle name.
Right. Something like that. I learned it from Elvis Costello.
Good. I'm glad you guys talked, and I hope you have some content for your book.
I can neither confirm nor deny such allegations.
Oh no, here we go with that spy shit again. Well, as promised, we get to start the minute with the punchline of the joke from the last minute.
Thank God.
I know you were waiting with bated breath.
I mean, I'm assuming most people are watching it like I did. And I only watch these minutes immediately before we record each episode. So I didn't know. I knew it was going to be funny, but, you know, I didn't know. And it is funny. It's one of my favorite jokes in the whole movie, actually.
So what does Dr. Evil say?
He says, yes, that's true. She will never love another man.
And then her look of, like, confirmation, but also dismay.
Yeah, that is kind of funny, too. Her reaction is pretty good.
She's like, wait, will I actually never love another man? Shit.
She's like, oh, I was totally bluffing. She was just, you know, blowing smoke up his ass.
But she's not bluffing right now. We get some people are elated when they get told this, and some people immediately want to vomit. So Frau tells Dr. Evil that she's late.
Yes. And I think, I'm not 100% sure on this, but I think that I have an embarrassing confession to make about this joke.
What?
That I'm fairly sure when I saw this movie, I didn't get this joke. And I had to ask somebody, probably my mom, who had to explain what being late meant in this scenario.
So you were very much like Dr. Evil of like, no, you got here right on time.
Exactly. I was totally Dr. Evil.
But no, she means I'm late, air quotes.
Late.
And if anybody at home does not know what that means, that ego is prego.
That's what she should have said. That would have been much funnier.
Oh, yeah.
It would, I mean, it, maybe, you know, it would have gone along with the Hot Pocket thing. It'd be like another breakfast sponsor thing.
And then somebody just puts an Eggo waffle in the toaster.
Yeah. They're breathtaking, I hear.
Oh, God. Come on, guys. Put me in, coach. Let me be part of this community of people who do sponsorships.
Because you'll say things like, your ego is prego. And that's really what they want associated with their microwavable waffles.
I think so. And then you get the realization on Dr. Evil's face, which brings us to the perfect transition in the movie to somebody shows up.
It's Scott Evil.
Fresh and hot out of the time machine.
Looking fly or something.
Camo pants and what kind of print is that shirt?
I do not know, but it is. It's there.
The whole time that this scene was playing out, I was thinking, is it only because they conceived him together that he feels emotionally attached to Dr. Evil more now?
Right. Or even
and
that.
That's...
No, go ahead. Sorry.
No. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, or even that he shows up immediately after that. Like it was like the future had just changed when she said that. And that's why he came back suddenly.
Yeah, because they didn't give Dr. Evil a briefing of, like, things that you're not supposed to do when you're in the past.
Nope. He just, you know, said he's about to travel through time. I bid you adieu.
And then that's it. That's all. And there are time consequences.
Except that in this case, there are time consequences that just make true things that already are real.
That hurt my brain.
Something like that.
So Scott shows up and just wants to work it out with his dad. He looks a little vulnerable. He's feeling a little emotional.
He's putting himself out there.
Yeah, he's really trying. I'm still really digging that blue hair. Blue, black, purple, whatever it is.
It's fantastic. But my favorite personal fashion item for Scott are his dual necklaces. One of which is handcuffs, very small handcuffs. And the other of which is some kind of gun. Because that's what you do when you're a cool 90s guy. I guess.
He's just a punk rock kid.
Yeah. I mean, where do you get a necklace like that? Is it like pewter? Is it like a pewter gun?
Do we have to go to Spencer's to get it?
Definitely. Okay. Or maybe it's a Hot Topic item. I don't know.
It could be. Anywhere that your parents were like, hey, just don't go in there. Not right now. And then, of course, you go to the mall with your friends and you're like, I'm going in there now.
Definitely. Hot Topic and Spencer's are stop number 1 and 2 at the mall, right before the pretzel.
Yes. Always you got to bring it back to being an actual kid and get the pretzel. But unfortunately, there are no sweet endings here. I'm killing it with these transitions.
You really are.
because Dr. Evil tells Scott that he had his chance. He already had someone created in his image, and that's this freaking spinny chair.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And then Mini-Me spins around and looks like, yeah, that's me.
Damn right.
Because Mini-Me's evil and he wants to take over the world. And he fits easily into overhead bins.
Yes, which I never, obviously when I saw this movie as a young man, it didn't occur to me that this movie might be kind of offensive to little persons, but it pretty much is.
Yeah, I feel bad. I feel really bad, but I also really love Mini-Me. And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like there's a lot of people out there who love him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those things. It's a fine line thing because, yes, they're like making fun of him, kind of, but also they are, I mean, like he's like an important and funny character in this movie. Like it's a good, like, you know, representation matters kind of thing, right?
Yeah. And what's so wild is he is one of the funniest characters and he has no lines.
That's right. Yeah. I was thinking about it the other day and I'm pretty sure before I knew anything about any of the Austin Powers movies, I was hanging out at my cousin's house and my uncle was like, you guys got to come see this. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. And it was the Mini-Me fight when he like climbs into the spacesuit later in the movie. And
yes,
my uncle thought it was literally the funniest thing that had ever happened in the history of humankind. And then I was like, oh, we should rent this movie. This does look funny.
Well, it's good to know that your uncle's a big Mini-Me fan too.
Which I don't think we've talked about this yet, but I have a theory that all dads love Mini-Me and continue to do so today, like 20 years after this movie came out, because my own dad personally still from time to time will say things like, do you remember that movie when there's like that little guy, mini man or what, you know, like he'll get it wrong cute. Or whatever. And he'll be like, you know, $1 million. Like,
no, like Dr. Evil was meant for like dads to joke with. Like
100%. He's like a living dad joke.
Oh yeah. And then like my dad loved Mini-Me too. Cause I can
see, there you go.
I can seriously attest to the whole like spacesuit fight being a roll like across the floor of laughter.
It's a knee slapper.
Oh yeah.
For dads in the household, for sure. And I don't know why. It's an unquantifiable something about mini me that if you are a father, then you unquestionably love. Like, I assume if I have kids, the moment my son or daughter is born, I will be like, oh man, Mini-Me's fucking hilarious.
He's the best character in this whole fucking movie.
How did I not see it before? It'll just become clear.
He's like a vicious Chihuahua thing, so maybe you just like vicious Chihuahuas.
I guess so. I do love all of his reactions. Like you said, he doesn't have any lines in the movie, so what really sells it are when they're like, you know, or like when he says he fits easily into most overhead storage bins, and they cut to him and he's like, yeah, I guess so.
He's like a little shrug of like, yeah. And then look at him, he's crazy, the Chihuahua thing. And
a little wave. And
he's just like, shakes head, me.
It is very funny.
If Mini-Me is just as evil as Dr. Evil, if not more, because he's like concentrated.
He's all the evil of Dr. Evil, but in a smaller package. So it's denser evil.
Denser evil. So, could he successfully take over the world where Dr. Evil failed?
That's an excellent question. And one that will be answered in the forthcoming Austin Powers 4. although Vern Troyer is not with us anymore, right?
No. It's so sad.
It is really sad.
But I'm glad he got like success from these movies.
Yeah. Well, didn't he have his own show for a while too? I feel like I heard somebody talk about this recently, that they said it was really funny, because I think the whole concept is that he's like, it's like he's playing himself and he keeps trying to like get jobs and stuff, but he's only getting cast in stupid stuff like this or something. Like, I can't remember exactly what the deal is, but it sounded really funny when somebody described it to me. I'll have to look it up.
He was actually...
Oh, you know what? This is horrible. I just realized it was not Vern Troyer.
Who was it?
I think it was Warwick Davis.
Well, I mean, if it makes you feel any better, when I literally searched him, I know that he's in one of the Harry Potter movies too.
Oh yeah. But, he plays a couple characters, I think, actually.
Yeah, but I feel like people also did the same thing, because it was like the top list of like Harry Potter, Vern Troyer. And I was like, not sure if that's the same thing. But there, if people want to still support him, there's a movie in post-production called Hipsters, Gangsters, Aliens, and Geeks, and he's in it.
That's awesome.
So I don't know what kind of movie this is. I'm going to click on it. I think he's like, I think they made him like the art, like the cover photo, because he's Emperor Beezlechug. And it looks like kind of like a circus movie.
Interesting.
Almost. I don't know. I can't. Guys, you're going to have to support it for me, because there are clowns, and I can't do clowns.
Nope. Evil doctors, no problem.
Clowns, absolutely terrifying.
Can all agree on that.
But I guess he's also equally as terrifying in this movie, because Scott says that Mini-Me is going to kill him if the first chance he gets. And then Dr. Evil says probably.
Yeah, it's a great... I wrote down that the editing in this scene is really funny. Like, the way they choose exactly the right times to cut back to Mini-Me and get his reactions, where he's like, yeah, he's right.
the unsung hero of this whole film.
Yes. The nameless editor who I did not look up.
You did a good job.
I did also, I've got the minute playing on a loop and I realize I forgot to mention that I find it weirdly funny. It shouldn't be funny, but it is funny that when Scott first shows up, Dr. Evil just says, "Hey there, sport." And that's really funny to me. It's very much a like dad thing. Get out of here. I don't really want to see you, sport.
Did your dad call you sport?
Definitely not. No, sport is one of those names. Sport is like champ or chief. It's like when somebody doesn't know your name, they're like, "Hey, sport," you know?
I was going to say, I don't think my dad ever called me anything other than like my name and my nickname.
Right. I mean, that's normal. That's probably good.
Yeah. Your dad knows your name.
Yes. I mean, that's dad 101 right there. It's like in that book, there's a chapter on why Mini-Me is funny. And the next chapter is like, whatever you do, don't forget your kid's name and call them sport. It's really frowned upon.
Are you also compiling content so that you can write a how to be a dad book whenever you become a dad?
No comment. Trademarked 2018.
Ooh, nobody's stealing that idea.
It's called Mini-Me and Me, A Tale of Fatherhood.
Yep, it's definitely trademark copyrighted.
That one's next fall. I gotta spend some time doing some research.
Yeah, you gotta.
Father some children.
Yeah, you gotta tell your wife that.
Yeah, well, she'll find out.
Oh no, you gotta use that mojo. Well, you said earlier that this is your favorite.
I think so. Yeah, I go back and forth between the first two, but yes.
Do you have a favorite scene that you want to talk about that you didn't get in these minutes?
Oh, man. Damn, I should have thought about this beforehand. I'm trying to think. Because I get them all mixed up. I'll say when I was watching most of it last night, the thing that I was probably laughing the hardest at was the "Why Won't You Die" scene. That whole bit is so funny to me. Just like, well, it's a funny gag, but then when they're falling down from the building and she's like, "The fall will kill us both," and then he's still screaming, but he's slowly moving her in front of him, is just hysterically funny to me. It's such a stupid joke, but I love it.
And it's like the building is much taller than...
Oh, they're falling forever from like a two-story club window. It's so ridiculous. But yeah, there's a lot of good ones. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really funny, like, improv editing thing. The whole thing with the chair, when he gets stuck in the chair spinning around, that's later in the moon base. That's a really good bit, too. There's a lot of funny bits. But yeah, I love this movie. This is one I used to watch a lot growing up. Not growing up, when I was a teenager, I guess.
I feel like this is the one that they put on HBO most often.
Totally. Most definitely. Like when I used to like hang out with my cousins like during the summer and stuff, I had a like a CD case that I put all my movies in, like when DVDs first started coming out, and it was like page 1 and 2, it was like Dumb and Dumber and Austin Powers were like like the top three. Like, what are we gonna rewatch this weekend? Like, we got nothing better to do.
So that's awesome.
This was a standard.
Well, I'm glad it fit in your CD case to take it everywhere.
I mean, I would never be caught dead without a copy of my DVD, complete with DVD-ROM features. I mean, you never know when you need to pull up that map of the DVD-ROM features.
Yeah, how else are you going to navigate?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm assuming, I've never done it, but I'm assuming when you open it up, it's like in Jurassic Park when she knows Linux. That's probably what it looks like. Like it looks like buildings, and you have to like slowly navigate to the building that gives you like a filmography for the editor of the movie. It's like an extremely cumbersome process.
Well, I mean, just navigating the extra features are. So it would be on brand.
It could only be better when you have to do it with a mouse. And when there has to be a map for you to understand what you're looking at.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad you joined the group while you were here.
I did. I really did.
That
I want to be in this conversation. I need it to research for my books.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We got to do a lot of dad knowledge in here, and we got to still workshop this Elvis Costello bit.
Right. I'm just there to lurk and steal other people's ideas after they listen to this episode, and people be chatting it up about these fantastic ideas, and then I'll just steal all their other ideas for the other chapters in the book.
I feel like that's what the internet's all about.
Absolutely. That's what it's there for. I mean, what do you think we're doing here? What is this podcast?
Yeah, it's a direct offshoot of one that I didn't create the formula for.
Yeah, I mean, we're using somebody else's format to talk about somebody else's movie, all for that Hot Pocket money.
Listen, that sweet, sweet gold Hot Pocket money.
I mean, you know, you can't upset the sponsors, so.
Yeah, I'm sorry. They've spoken. Everybody, go to your local grocery store and buy up all the Hot Pockets, and then be careful.
Be careful. And be careful that you don't pick up those lean pockets, too, because.
Yeah, those are gross.
Yeah, I know. No, we're not supposed to say anything bad about them, but, you know, I just can't. I can't lie about lean pockets.
If you're going to do a Hot Pocket, do full fat. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. Everything will come out in the wash anyway.
It's true. And I mean, it doesn't matter. Lean or not, you're getting hot cheese all over the place. I mean, there's no getting around that.
That either sounds like a dream or a nightmare to someone. Hot cheese everywhere.
Yes. Hot cheese everywhere.
Well,
it's a new band name.
Hot cheese everywhere?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it a new wave easy listening band?
I'd call it Baroque pop.
Ah, okay. All right, cool. Well, if you want to hear us banter on and meet all the other people who are also on this podcast and, you know, stay in contact with me, I guess, in the hiatus months and also just when the episodes are coming out, do like Harper did and join the Electric Psychedelic Pussycat Swingers Club on Facebook. And also, if Harper wants to plug anything else that he wants, any more self-published books that he wants to do and take us out for the week, that'd be kind of cool.
Sure. Yeah, so you can find my audio stuff and links to other podcasts that I've guested on and stuff on harperwharris.com. The Thing Minute is at thethingminute.com and The Thing Minute on all social media and stuff. And yeah, I guess I'll say for a timely plug, go see Summer 03 in theaters, which will probably be, hopefully still be in theaters by the time this episode comes out. But if not, you know, check it out on VOD and all that stuff. I'm sure it'll be there. It's an awesome movie, and it would be really cool if lots of people checked it out.
Yeah, I'll definitely be checking it out. I'm sure if our local, like, big AMC or whatever, we have an indie place that I can go see it at.
Yeah.
But I hope it releases all over the place.
I'm assuming it's going to, like, you know, I mean, people will forget about this whole Star Wars thing because Summer 03 will be out and they'll be like, I don't even remember if there was a Star Wars movie this year or, you know, any of that other crap.
This will be the best movie of the whole year.
Absolutely.
Well, do you want to tell the people what they shouldn't forget?
You shouldn't forget to stay groovy.